Hey everyone, really great episode of The Morning Show today. We discussed all things blast airdrop farming and how to maximize your opportunities there. We also talked all things SocialFi as both FriendTech and Farcaster are gaining traction. And lastly, we talked state of the market as opportunities are coming up left and right and how to manage your bankroll going forward. Thanks and enjoy the show. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome everyone to the Nifty Morning Show. It's Monday and we have a lot to cover. We got a banger ahead of us and we are back with Easy after a week in San Francisco. We are discussing the blast airdrop season. It's heating up. All it took was a little bit of gold and some Farmville-like Ponzi to get the people going. Just what we like. Easy. It got easy in it. We're going to be covering that and how to maximize your airdrop. We're talking SocialFi. We got FriendTech points selling for over $4 a pop and the DGen token gaining traction. And lastly, we're going to be discussing runes and a little bit of a dip that we saw this weekend. If it's time to buy in, I've been getting my feet wet with it a little bit, so I'm excited to cover that as well. But Easy, it's good to have you back on the show. How was GDC, man?
Dude, GDC was awesome, to be like completely transparent. It was absolutely awesome. Shout out AVAX. I'm even more excited to be working with them. They had hands down the best booth presence there. They had right when you get into GDC, you go down the escalator and immediately at the bottom of the escalator is this massive booth that just says Web3 gaming sucks. And I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Like such a clickbaity thing all over it. They have like 8 gaming computers set up where people are literally streaming in real time, playing games from various days. Shout out Shrapnel as well. Love working with them. Streamed for a couple hours right there, just at the AVAX booth. And I was like, this is one of the coolest things ever. Like, I'm just getting to play video games of a partner's project live at GDC. I've never been to GDC before, so it's pretty surreal to see, like, TikTok, Unreal Engine, Epic Games, all these well-known game publishers and organizations from traditional Web 2. And then you had presence from Arbitrum, AVAX, a bunch of indie studios, a ton of different, like, Web 3 games. They just had a great presence. Shout out Wilder World as well. They were there in full force at a booth as well. And it was just really good to talk to people and see the interest as well from like people who never really considered Web3 or crypto gaming in general to going over to the AVAX booth and being like, this is awesome. Like I said, massive booth, ton of people, ton of interest. They had a full tech deck skate park set up, which was a ton of fun as well, from like a custom AVAX tech decks down to a full display of like monitors and real live streams playing Bloodloop, Shrapnel, and some of these other games.
So this was the game developers convention.
Yes.
So it was not just Web3. It was gaming just in general.
Everything. So this was probably one of the biggest years as well to have a Web3 presence, I would say. Like, hands down, it was one of the biggest Web3 presences, they've said. And like AVAX just completely took the entire world by storm. Like, that was the crazier thing, was like they were the talk of the town. People who never considered this niche of gaming were so interested in what is AVAX and why do they have such a crazy presence, I would say. So they crushed it, man. Like, once again, I cannot give them enough flowers and I'm wicked excited to be working with them. We just got the announcement of MapleStory, and then shout out WolvesDAO and specifically the Wolves Den, which Sam Stefanina, and I got to give a shout out to Peyton as well for putting on. It was like a central house that any Web3 gaming founder who was at GDC was present there. So like the networking opportunities here was the best experience I've had at any conference. I met so many awesome projects. I met the Parallel team, got a sneak peek into Colony, which was surreal. So their upcoming game, which I'm extremely excited about, like beyond excited, and not because it's coming to Solana, that is a huge win, but also just because the gameplay looks incredible. They did, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be discussing it, but they did like an alpha night where all these founders, they made us put our phones away, no computers, no recording, and just broke down a ton of stuff from founders and information. And probably shouldn't leak it, but I'm going to leak it anyway. There's so many gaming tokens dropping in the next like 6 months to 12 months. It's going to be mania. And I think this really is like kind of going to be that meta, is the gaming token narrative, kind of figuring out which ones seem like they have the most juice, the most legs, the best chance to actually break out. And kind of attaching your carriage to that horse and seeing where it takes you.
Easy, I've got to ask, were there any non-PC games that really stood out to you?
So there was a few mobile games, which was really interesting. Like Chibi Clash works on mobile, which is like, dude, this was the most addicting game I've ever played. It's I don't even know what to compare it to. Like, if you've ever played like Call of Duty Zombies where you run in circles and these like creatures follow you, it's an automated fighting game. But I found myself sitting there for like a good 45 minutes playing this game. And I was like, dude, this is the most addicting game I've ever played. Like, I just lost track of time playing this thing. I was like, this is crazy. Other than that, though, it was mostly PC. I played Rec League again. There was like a insane moment where I was playing against Hunter Solaire, if you're familiar with him. He got me down to like one health and I came back and it was a best of five in this like Rec League tournament. So I met the Enway team, really great people. That was really, really awesome to talk to them and just kind of even like voice some opinions on like how some of the stuff was going marketing wise. Cause the first tournament was electric with them, but then it kind of fell off and just kind of picked their brain on like how it fell this way and started to navigate and what the future holds. So really just all in all, man, just great conversations with so many awesome founders. I met the team from Low Life Forms, another Solana project. Tarek is great. Honeyland, like honestly, the Solana gaming audience showed out and showed up, which is awesome to see. And then of course the AVAX audience was massive with Bloodloop, Shrapnel, and some of these other games on AVAX just in full. I played Nyon Heroes, another Solana based project that made me even more bullish because their game was like fully playable, really quality game. It was, yeah, there was just nonstop action, like it's all at the Wolves House. And then at GDC, which was great. It was like, there were some side events you could go to. I went to the Ronin event. That was really good. Shout out Finn. Shout out the Ronin team. That was awesome. Went to the AVAX event as well briefly. But really, it was like mostly just go to the conference, go to the central house where a ton of people were, and just everyone that you could possibly want to talk to was either at one of those two places, which made the networking opportunity the most seamless process. I didn't have to overthink it or like really go out of my way to try and meet people.
That sounds awesome. In like, in terms of the game development on the specific blockchains, where are we seeing the most attention happening or people or like teams sort of navigating towards? Was it more Solana? Was it more AVAX? Was it more Ronin? Like, which of those three chains has and is having the most attention?
Man, who has the most attention? That's tough to say because Ronin did not have a booth presence. They were just present as like attendees. But they're crushing it with like Pixels, who was there, which is a million daily active users on their game, which is massive. So like, I think the Ronin ecosystem is really, really strong. I think the AVAX ecosystem was really strong because I had never played Bloodloop, and that was up there for probably one of my favorite games. Just the actual gameplay was really polished. And when I played it, I found myself wanting to play more. And it's not very common that I'm in that opportunity where I want to keep playing. Like, that was where I was like, okay, this is a good game. If it makes me want to not put the controller down and walk away and say, eh, like that was surprising. So all in all, I think AVAX's presence was probably one of the strongest just from the booth presence and then actual games. And then Arbitrum had a smaller booth, but they had 6 to 10 actual games that you could play in real time. So it was like ranging from mobile, they had iPad games, they had PC games, Battle Plan, the Meta Heroes game. So I met G-Funk. I think it's G-Funk. Is that the one?
Yeah,
and G-Funk. VGF. Yeah. So they were both there and actually talked through their game. Like, that was awesome. Throwing shout outs like you won a Grammy. I mean, dude, it was just awesome. Like, it was just awesome.
Did you go to a conference at all there, or was it just literally going to three expo booths and mentioning each of them and everyone that was
there? Well, that was where. So the best part was, Nick, at those, they had probably 20 games at each, and every founder from the games was there. So like, you didn't need to, you know, like, work smarter, not harder is what they say. So if I just stood there, I ended up probably meeting 60 people with building games and just got to talk to them without having to really move my feet too much. I mean, I could have gone over to the TikTok booth, dropped a quick little dance, and you know, maybe gotten onto like your viral sensation mix.
Is there an actual conference though?
Yeah. Oh, it's a full like trade show conference hall. Like, I stopped at the Unreal Engine booth.
Hold on, you keep calling it a trade show conference. There's a distinction between an expo.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm mixing them up. So when you say conference, is that like speakers and shit?
Yes.
No speakers.
There's no speakers at GDC?
At their own booths, there were. So like Unreal Engine would have like a speaker. Epic would have their speakers at their booth with a larger screen.
Really?
But there would be other stuff going on. Like, I didn't have to sit there and watch it.
There's like, not like a stage with speakers.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, no stage. Okay.
I had no idea that I did not realize that was the way that it's interesting that they call it a conference when it's when there's no speakers.
Yeah,
but it's also gaming, right? Isn't it more fun to be more interactive and like not listen to people talk about the games, but like actually feel the games, play the games, get to see what other people think about the games? I think that's what's different than like NFT NYC or NFT Paris, where it's like there's not many tangible events happening around it. I think that's the major difference. I don't know, Easy.
Speakers. Like, that's the thing. There just isn't like a stage right, stage left, you know, like south stage, north stage. There wasn't any of that. It was like I could go over to the Epic booth and they would have like speakers and a few panels, but it was more that like it was segmented. So if I wanted to go there and learn about what Unreal Engine was doing or Epic, or they had a bunch of like VR stuff, there was a ton of virtual and mixed reality stuff going on. They had a game that was called like Coke Bottle Shaker, which looked like you were using a shake weight. It was really uncomfortable to watch people play, but they were there. People were going hard. They were going sick on that thing. They had a waffle maker virtual simulator, which I didn't dive into, but you literally just like, they were showing all this motion sensor stuff. That was kind of interesting. Like they had people doing jump rope and doing backflips over jump ropes in full motion sensor suits. So you could see it on the screen of like what it looked like. It was a lot of like product demos versus like speakers.
So, that sounds amazing. And we miss having you on the show last week, Easy. It's great to have you back. Before we get started, Nick, real quick, as one of the hottest bachelors on the market right now, I do want to ask you about what happened yesterday. There was a little bit of a controversial Bumble interaction that went on that I do want to ask you about. how do you feel about the current dating situation now that you've become kind of this viral sensation? Does it make dating more difficult?
Well, I've never had someone take a screenshot of me and tweet me before they send me any message, basically. That seems just weird. It was interesting. Jane is a poor person. And she exploited my dating app profile for clout, essentially. I went on because she tweeted this. One of y'all tweeted me this link, and I was like, "Oh, I'll go see if she actually used it." I hate going on there, but after you guys texted me this link, I decided to go on. She did indeed swipe. I then swiped, and she tweeted that out before sending me even a message, which just felt inappropriate. So how do I feel about it? I feel violated. And
honestly, though, Nick, you got a lot of praise for being the age you are, and a lot of people saying that you make Brian Johnson look old. I was like, wow. That's the compliment of all compliments.
It's interesting that people say that, because when I went on the streets of New York, that's not the response that I got. But I appreciate that people overwhelmingly look at a single photo, and that's representative of me holistically. But I appreciate that people think that I look young and that I don't look my age, and very grateful for that. One person seemed to think that that's because I have low testosterone and that I'm a soy boy. And that was an interesting take from that commenter. They would be surprised to find out that I actually have too high of a testosterone level. Wow. I have been tested and it's actually too high. I was hoping that maybe I could inject myself with a little testosterone, you know? That's all the rage nowadays. Even Brian Johnson tested that out. Well, turns out I don't need that. I think, you know, most of the women can tell, you know, I think it's pretty apparent. Let me just say that much. Okay.
Yeah. You're oozing testosterone. Anyone can tell. But look, let's kick this show off. One more quick shout out before we get started to Tensor, the partner of today's show. They have just announced, the Tensor Foundation has just announced the launch of the Tensor token, which will be used to govern the Tensor protocols that are going to be built to, quote unquote, build the most robust NFT ecosystem that exists. So we are super excited to be partnering with them. In the last 90 days, Tensor has facilitated over $2 billion worth of trading volume on Solana, 70% of Solana's trading volume. So make sure to learn more about the token. They're going to be releasing more information about it. Follow Tensor Foundation at TensorFDN on Twitter. Signal, let's kick this off.
Real quick, I want to expand one other additional comment real quick. So that girl, Jane, DMs me on Twitter afterwards and is like, says something. And she genuinely, literally had no intention other than clout, basically. She wanted to go on a date that was recorded. And I said, I basically said, seems like you've gotten enough clout without my permission to post images. Like, that's just an uncomfortable date. And there, what did I say? I said, no, I said, you looking to go on a date or you want to take a photo? She said, ideally both. And I said, seems like you got enough engagement out of the first photo. So that's good enough. She said, okay, I understand. I said, so just to verify, because I'm like, this girl definitively just wanted clout. So I'm like, I'm going to, I was like, it sounds like you literally just want to go to document the date. I was like, that's crazy uncomfortable. I was like, I would not do that. I was like, I asked, I was like, would you be up for a situation where there's no clout at all? Basically, no response.
Damn.
Jane literally was on the hunt for engagement farming. This was the most popular thing she's ever done, actually. And apparently she's a marketer. That's her job. She has 500 followers as a marketer, which is interesting.
She got the engagement. She got some impressions. You know, as a marketer, this was probably exactly what she was looking for. But yeah, Nick, keep us posted on all things dating. Now that you are becoming this viral sensation, everyone.
Well, I'm launching a dating app tomorrow. Choose Rich Dating.
It's an app.
The grand reveal is going to happen tomorrow, so get excited for it.
Are you the only guy on there, or are there like going to be more guys?
I can't tell you any of the details about.
No. I just don't want to have to like, you know, compete over you. You know, those numbers don't work very well. So it'd be helpful if there were more guys with the similar mindset to you on there. I'm just saying.
We'll find out tomorrow. The details, Signal. That's a cliffhanger if I've ever seen one.
Hey, I'm
dying to find out. What's Choose Rich Dating? What is Choose Rich Dating? What's going to happen? Oh my God. What's the situation? I haven't experienced dating before this. And now they're going to experience the true Choose Rich experience. That's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, we're super excited for it, Nick and Signal. Let's kick this. Let's get the show on the road. Weather report whenever you're ready.
Absolutely. It's a cliffhanger. Let's see what's been going on. Monday, March 25th, folks, it's ETH market volume coming in at 18.3. We're down a bit. Solana at 11.1. Onto the market leaders, Azuki is up 10% to almost 4.7. Beans also up to 0.26. Parallel avatars, they're down to 1.2. Over on Solana, you've got banks set up to 3.7. The heist also up to 1.2. So, and Badogos, they're back over 7 sol. Things are looking nice and green. Over on Bitcoin, though, things are down. You've got runestones. They're down to 0.04. RSIC also down to 0.05. And Bitcoin Frog, they're down to 0.08. Wow, they were 0.2 not so long ago. Over on the weekend, the top four stories were at number one. It's all Blast. They have airdropped the first allocation of Blast Gold to dApps, with one gold being equivalent to roughly 35,000 points. They also released tooling to allow dApps to add themselves to the official Blast Point leaderboard, allowing users a better view of points and gold that they have earned. Secondly, over on Crypto Valleys, a DeFi yield farming game on Blast. This captured the attention on the timeline over the weekend, as many big names on crypto Twitter, including our very own Easy Eats, shared their experience playing the game. Their yield token gained 25% over the weekend to $15, while their NFT fell down to 0.44 ETH. Thirdly, over on crypto, it has stabilized over the weekend as outflows from the BTC ETFs, they slowed down to 51 million on Friday, sort of a local low for the week. We have seen some positive price action overnight as the majors are all up in the last 24 hours, with BTC hovering around 67K, ETH at 3,450, and SOL around 190. And then lastly, Frentech, has made waves after announcing that they don't plan on raising venture capital and that 100% of the points will be distributed to the community. Points are currently trading around $5 OTC with Friends Tech's version 2 set to release the week of 4/20 and will include upgrades such as new point system and native decks and tradable collectibles. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Amazing weather report signal. A lot of juicy stuff going on there. We're getting some social fi. We're getting some token farming. It's getting real crazy over here. But some stories from the Daily Bone. You can go subscribe at dailybones.com. The first story is NFT stats shared that Wasabi Protocol got quote unquote nerfed their gold allocation, which Blast gives it to the protocol to then distribute to their users, depending on it's pretty much an arbitrary selection process. But long story short, Wasabi got nerfed in the amount of gold that they could give to their users, speculated because...
What does that mean, nerfed? Like,
so the original balance, so they give it set allocation of like how much gold they're awarding to each decentralized application dApp. There's like an X amount of gold that they originally allocated. And with that, they ended up reverting how much gold they gave to Wasabi.
Who gave gold to Wasabi?
So Blast, the L2, has another thing here called Blast Gold. So it's like a points multiplier. There's speculation of this being like a multiplier for tokens that you're going to get when the initial Blast, whatever redacted, comes out. And they determine how much each dApp gets. dApps then decide how much to give to their users. So they end up, so it goes like a pyramid, basically. Blast at the top, dApps here, users here, funneling down. So Blast gave it to dApp, to Wasabi. Wasabi then said, this is how we're going to divvy it up. Blast then said, JK, we take some of that back.
Wow. So they...
And it's because they basically copy-pasted the app from ETH to Blast, and it's not a new app on Blast, which, I'm going to be honest here, has me a little nervous about what happens with YOLO games, because Looks Rare has a similar game on ETH. So there's a lot of gold that's supposed to be allocated here. Makes me more bullish on Crypto Valleys and Cambria.
Wasabi Protocol just keeps getting screwed left and right. look at them.
Next
what a situation. Just getting fucked over by their partners, huh?
Next
that's
story.
A crazy situation.
88,900 Game of Blocks inscriptions were airdropped to holders of Top Ordinals Collection. It's an on-chain game where holders can risk their inscriptions for potential rewards. The Bodago Super Pack, they got one. They're getting their paws all over this thing. We'll see how it plays out right now. It has gone down, but people are pretty excited about it. We'll see how that plays out. Next story, Bitcoin Puppet with the matching Bitcoin staff, crown, and shirt has sold for 4.2 Bitcoin, which is $270,000. Bitcoin Puppet's continuing to dominate. I think they are at another all-time high, 0.26 Bitcoin. Wow, I faded those.
This is so ridiculous. Fuck!
That's why it pumped.
I think Nick was a fan of these. It was Bunny and Clemente that weren't.
No,
we were actually, Easy and me were like, like, y'all are dumb.
These are going to cook.
And that was at like 0.06.
No, 0.035. We could buy, sell, send it to zero. Bitcoin Puppets.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah, we should definitely buy these.
We both said these are going to cook, and Clemente called us stupid, dumb idiots. And sure enough, they giga set.
Oh my God, dude.
It's terrible because
Bitcoin, bro.
It's insane. It's absolutely absurd. They're like number four in market cap right now. Or number five in terms of
arguably the best art I've seen on any blockchain too, dude. Like these look really good at a quarter Bitcoin. Like put them in the Louvre.
God damn it, dude. All right. Next story. Jack Butcher has released an open edition 1988 on base, 37,000 wallets minting so far, 148,000 editions. And he raised a total of 118 ETH. Cool. $400,000. Jack Butcher, like just printing.
Can I just get my sunglasses first before you start minting some other shit, dude? Like, I like Butcher. I like some of this stuff. I've been sitting on these goddamn Oviators for who knows how long, and I haven't gotten them yet. I'm bag holding these things because I'm supposed to get a custom art piece and sunglasses. I haven't gotten either.
Yeah, but it's not summer yet, mate. They're going to come out in summer, I'm sure.
It's always sunny in Miami, Sig. It's always sunny in Miami.
Jack Butcher the only artist making money in this space right now?
Ex-Cobby just made like
Bitcoin puppets artist.
Okay. Wait, what did Ex-Cobby do?
He did an open edition on Base and I think raised 500K or something like that.
Dude, Ex-Cobby is a scammer. Okay, I own some of his stuff. What did I get for the NFT for the one that everyone speculatively is saying we burn?
Max Payne.
Yeah, Max Payne.
He used that just very recently, actually. He did a surprise burn where you could burn Max Payne. I think you paid 0.1 and then I can't remember the name of the collection, but it was part of a new collection with even lower supply. So if you actually had your Max Payne listed, I think you could have got out at like 0.6, 0.8, something like that. So
he delivered on it. You're feeling Max Payne.
And there's going to be more. There's going to be more surprise burns.
Clemente, this newsletter is not keeping me up to date on what I need to do, dude. Like, this is getting
out of control. It literally was in the newsletter, actually.
What? Okay, well, I didn't read that one.
But this was actually like 2 months ago. It was this guy. You could basically pay, you burn yours and you pay
points. Like shit.
Anyways, next story. Howdy Soul. This one's an interesting one. I do want to talk very briefly. $ Howdy is launching on Solana today. They're distributing 66% of the supply to holders of Howdy hats based on a 7 a.m. snapshot that was taken this morning. Quick little thing on this. Bodago's got over 500. They got an allocation of 500 Howdy hats. And these printed, they got up to a 10 Soul floor. So another big dub for Bodago's post snapshot. They have dipped, but are still holding a 1.7 Soul floor. Easy. Anything
don't buy these now. Do not buy these now. The team literally said, don't buy these now. Snapshot has happened. They said, retract all of your bids. Delist if they're listed because the snapshot won't function properly. They're airdropping a token and someone actually dropped like the tokenomics on it. It needs to trade, I think, a 200 million market cap to be worth 10 Soul.
Got it. So in order for you to basically have a profitable trade, it needs to be, that's...
Yeah, they like showed the token, estimated token allocations. I think it was 200 mil. I'd have to find the sheet, but that number looked a little scary to me. I would have been a seller at 10 Soul. Shout out Guapo, though. Legend. Absolutely cooked on this. 500 for the dogs. I don't know how he divvied them up. I didn't get shit. I'm glad the dogs ate. I would have been a seller between 7 and 10, personally.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll be checking in on that tomorrow just to see how performance does. Next story, a Chinese meme coin called Big Pump Pump has raised a record $280 million in a presale. What is going on right now? Dude,
you just don't understand. You don't understand.
$280 million?
Yes. Yes. BNB, yeah. Dude. BNB presales. If you were around during 2017-18, BNB was the OG shitcoin casino. PancakeSwap was like where you would go to buy literally 5K market caps and pray they went to 20,000, 200,000. It was a dumpster fire, and seeing this shows that that ecosystem's still thriving. This presale raised more than every single Solana presale that happened during that week combined.
God damn.
This is insane, dude. Wow. Can you imagine being the person that launched this thing and just literally like you're like partying with Elon Musk? Like
you have a quarter of $1 billion that was just sent to you.
You go and buy a yacht. You got $200 million left over.
You go and buy a jet. You used to have $180 million left over.
I need to track this, but wasn't there a guy?
You buy a $50 million house, you got $130 still remaining.
Yeah. Honestly, you could even probably buy like a couple Walgreens franchises, still have $100 million left over.
So, Asia has, in fact, woken up. That is a wild, wild story. Well, I don't know where they go from here. The only other thing I was going to say was that guy that did, he sold like a bunch of pictures of himself last bull run and then now is back saying that like he's doing a four ERC-404 token. He's raised $1 million.
Yes. Oh my God. I forgot about this guy. He dropped a like 365 selfies and they were trading for, I want to say like 0.8 to 1 ETH at peak. Of just a picture of this
selfie
dude.
A day, right? He did like a selfie
for a full year. from I want to say late November, and I think they were old pictures because he dropped them all at once, but they were like 365 days of consecutive pictures he was doing for like an art project, Giga Sent, and then derivatives dropped, like someone was taking pictures of their grandpa, and those ended up pumping to like half an ETH. But yeah, he's back now doing the same thing as a 404.
God damn.
The space never ceases to amaze me, dude.
And he's back, baby. Don't tell me we are not having fun yet. Last story.
Why are we, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? You know, we're like out here trading for like, we're looking like losers.
Why, Nick?
They're saying, oh, you made a couple hundred grand. You made a couple milli. What the hell? And then rather than just taking the money and disappearing, we're out here working. What has gone wrong in our lives? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, did we make the wrong decision? And it feels like we have.
That's we should have just posted a contract address, huh?
That, dude, I could have been the guy copying my style on Twitter and charging people for access to come and listen to me say nothing in a conference room in a hotel. I could have done that in Dubai, tax-free.
Tax-free, which is important.
This moment right now that Nick is having reminds me of what Spencer said last week when he says founders were tapping out in this market. This moment right here is Nick being like, why haven't I tapped out? Why am I still working? Because, Nick, you know, choose rich long-term will work. You know it's going to work. I have to say, it's very depressing to see somebody put a contract address in and raise 280 million. Like, I mean, that's an just insane amount to raise for just having a pre-sale address and then listing on BNB. But whatever, this is the market that we're in. And, you know, this wouldn't have happened 12 to 15 months ago. But this is like, I can't quite fathom that. But whatever. Next story, Clemente. Next story. Because we got to keep our hopes up. That's why. So yeah, we need to move on.
Well, let's kick things off. I do want to talk all things Blast. It feels like finally, after about a month, almost a month since launch, easy, that Blast activity is heating up. After that first gold airdrop, we had also token NFT starting to gain traction. Pac Moon, the community meme coin, is up 62% over the last 24 hours. Hey, your boy made a little bit of a call on that last week. No one cared about it.
How much you make? $50?
No, I didn't make the trade.
He didn't trade it.
I was just like, yo, hey, I'm going to be putting some money into this in the next few days. You guys should get in it. Pac Moon and Pump feels like a good play. I had money in Pump that's down 50%. Pump hasn't done shit. But Pac Moon is moving. It feels like that Blast adjacent kind of play to make. But what's been more active, or what people have been more farmable or engaging with, has been the Crypto Valleys game, easy. Farming the yield token. Can you just give us a 30-second rundown of what the hell Crypto Valleys is, how you've been playing it, and how much of a profitable trade it's been for you so far?
It's DeFi Kingdoms all over again, literally to a T. And for those that are unaware of what DeFi Kingdoms is, the token Jewel went to $20 before promptly going straight to zero. I'm very worried that this may be a similar situation that we could be kind of playing into here. Game's wicked early, though. I took a much smaller approach. I think I only put in, I'm up to about $5,000 right now in the game. Circulating yield at the moment is like 3K that I have that I earn about every day, but then I reinvested into the seeds to replant. I know people, like, dude, Deez openly talks about it. He's in for like high six figures, maybe low seven at this point. And he's doing $200,000 spins on seeds. Crazy. Min Dynasty, another well-known person on Twitter, he's in for a small boatload as well. It's, to say the least, dude, this game is crazy. Just because of the capital size that a lot of people are playing with, trying to be early into what could be the next like DeFi Kingdoms-esque play.
So easy, like,
yeah, go ahead,
Signal. I was going to ask. Okay, so a lot of people have been saying that this game is a whales game, and you've just gave the example of Deez. I saw on your Twitter that you've been actually playing like small amounts. What has been your strategy for doing small amounts for this game?
Yeah, so I took a different approach. Like, when I saw the entire timeline talking about it, I think it was Thursday or Friday last week, yield had just hit an all-time high at about $16. And And I was like, okay, I love DeFi Kingdoms. I was fairly early into that. Ended up losing money because I like baghelled through it. But this game has been out for like 9 to 10 days. And there was people who got in really early, like couple first few days at like 30 cents a token. And they're the ones who have like seriously printed on this. Deez got in at $12 to $16. He deployed a lot of his capital. And that was like why it's a whales game, because it's expensive now to level up, because the unlock of the token is so few at the moment. And the way that it works is when you plant these seeds, you get a locked amount and an unlocked amount. You only earn 1% of that locked amount a week if you have a maxed out farm at the moment. So the locked tokens are so high that there's such little circulating supply at the moment causing this. The reason I'm playing like a much smaller game for it is like I don't want to lock up 20, 30 grand, which is what happened with DFK, and then inevitably went to zero. I'd rather try this out, play small, and see like how they develop the ecosystem and economy and give you more ways to unlock. And if they give me a way to speed up the unlock, I'll put more money in to get into that unlock and kind of play it that way. The way that I'm navigating it, though, is I'm going the cheapest seeds, which a lot of people aren't doing, because there's still like right now you end up earning like 2 to 5% on average in like quote profit of yield that you're getting. Sometimes you end up losing, but then I'm also taking, when I get to a certain threshold, call it 50 yield in my bank, I take 5, put it in the bank, because now what you're actually doing is you earn a percentage of everyone else that's deploying money. So now I'm seeing all these people gamble $200,000 a spin. 1.5% of that goes back to the bank. So as I'm compounding in the bank with a small percentage and then farming with the other percentage, my belief is that my bank allocation will let me end up getting to a point where I can unstake that and trade for free. Basically get all my capital out and be playing this game entirely for free by taking a small amount off the table each time and putting it in this like high yield earning quote bank while they unlock additional phases. So it's, yeah, Ebrink says it's a staking and restaking Ponzi with very basic game UI. Correct. Like that's what it feels like. But right now, I mean, people are enjoying it. People like the gacha machine style. They like the idea of the gamble. And for me, that's where I'm like, this has some stickiness to it. And my other thesis on it is they got allocated a massive blast allocation for the gold and points. And right now there's 2,900 total people playing the game. So like that alone,
that was
if they
surprising, actually, right? Because I thought it only went to the Big Bang winners, the gold, the blast gold.
No, so it's all dApps. And this game launched after Big Bang. So because the game launched, ended up getting traction, and then the volume circulating through the game has essentially made it a top dApp that like they rewarded it for that. So because the volume is so high on this game, which is like you have Dingling playing, you have Mooncat playing, you have all these whales. Like I think Dingling literally tweeted 2 days ago, just put $200,000 into crypto valleys. It was just like, that was the tweet. I was like, okay, you're doing that. And then you have Deez literally spinning $200,000 every 8 hours. So it's like people are playing this game with size, but you can get involved very early on right now without having to do a ton of capital. Like I started with half an ETH. That was my thesis, was like token feels really high, ecosystem's euphoric. Rather than go all in at this massive price point, let's put half an ETH in, see what happens, start to get familiar with the game strategy and actually develop a thesis in a way that I want to navigate the ecosystem on a smaller bankroll where I still feel like I'll end up in the profit. And right now, and this was before they announced the gold side of it and before they minted PFPs, I have a PFP in for half an ETH and I'm now getting gold. I think I'm going to end up pretty profitable on this.
Damn.
I like that strategy. I like that strategy a lot because I think a lot of people were put off by crypto valleys thinking that you had to be like a whale, yeah, to go in. But really, you've been going in with a small bankroll, taking that, getting some seeds, putting it in the bank, then waiting for the token eventually to unlock so you can take some of that and put it back into the seeds again to keep planting and then to level up. And then obviously you get your gold allocation in the future.
It's a whales game if you want to play quick. You don't need to play quick though. There's only one, we're in phase one right now. And if you remember DFK, it didn't get crazy till phase three or four where you were like sending heroes on missions and fighting people and dragons and shit. And this, you're literally just planting seeds. And they've already said there's going to be missions. They said there's going to be NFT mints coming. They've only minted farmers, which give you a higher yield. It still feels so early that I'm like, why would I not just take a flyer here? And I know a flyer for me at half an ETH is still much larger than some other bankrolls. But dude, if you're hitting a 50, 60K win on a meme coin on Solana, take $2,000 of that and put it in this and just expand the portfolio to try other shit. Because I think a lot of people are on base right now and they're overthinking Blast. We just saw this one Blast dap basically reward the smaller players as much as the bigger players, and it wouldn't shock me if this ended up being a similar play on Crypto Valleys, because they don't want to eliminate the small player. Like, that's the thing. No game and no economy only wants whales, because all it takes is one pissed off whale to completely ruin the game. Like, you want a diverse number of players that can ensure that the ecosystem is operating in an efficient manner versus 60 whales that just control the game.
And also as well, I think what highlights is that there is interesting stuff happening on Blast. I think one of the things that people were sort of put off by Blast is that it just felt like you take your ETH, you convert it to something, you know, some kind of other token, and then you just leave it in some kind of DEX, and then that's where you're farming for the gold later, which is actually pretty boring, especially as well when you're seeing that like potential hacks on some of these dApps. But this Crypto Valley is actually something that can bring people in, that they'll want to play, that they'll want to talk about in the timeline. You also have to think, right, it's not that interesting to put your cash into a DEX and then for it to just to sit there. Yes, you can be earning yield, but are you going to go, like, you're not really going on a timeline and shout about that. Here in Crypto Valley, you've actually got a game where you can talk and share with other people what's going on, and there's a strategy. So I think that is way more interesting than perhaps some of the other plays that have been happening on Blast and will bring people into the ecosystem.
Well, it reminds me of like the heist on Solana, where people are talking strategy, and like the heist was a whales game, but then smaller players were also winning as they unlocked new seasons. And I saw Ebrink ask, is just buying the yield token a play? I think it could be, because you can literally just take the yield token and put it in the bank, and that's all you need to do. And right now we've seen, so the way that they do that is you get what's called X yield, which is like a staked yield token. So similar, like if you get like Steeth and some of these others on like ETH where you stake it, or Lido ETH, very similar thing where you get a liquid token. That ratio is now up 37% in the last 9 days, which shows how much money is going into Crypto Valleys. Because that number only goes up with each, quote, gacha roll, which is how you get seeds. You get 1.5% of every seed roll into the bank. So if you think the game is going to be successful, or you're going to see more whales continue to deploy capital, you could literally just take a quarter of an ETH, buy yield, put it in the bank, and forget about it for the next 6 months. And like, that's a play too.
Is this a similar dynamic to what's going on with the DGEN token?
Different dynamic. So DGEN token being Farcaster's play, which is on Base. So that's actually why I'm like more interested in Blast dApps right now, because everyone's like, oh, these are only whale games, and everyone's focus is on Base. I'm like, let me go in as a smaller fish in Blast and just try to capitalize on some of this gold allocation while everyone else is looking at Base. Farcaster airdropped a DGEN token, and you can get more DGEN token by tipping people on Farcaster. So literally by just using Farcaster, you can get this DGEN token that's now like giga sending. I completely fumbled that though. I saw TG made like 40 grand on this token.
It's still up. I had a guy run up to me yesterday in a food court that I was walking through, and he was like, Nick, I was going to kick myself if I didn't come say hello. And I said hi to the guy, and he was telling me about an app he was building on Base, and he's using the DGEN token. So it feels like they're building quite an ecosystem around this. Last night, that was before this thing sent, I should have just come back and bought it. And this was like the second time I'd heard it. G Money tweeted it out, how he was buying it. The total, what the full market cap is, what is it at? 600 million now?
No, it's
670 million, fully diluted.
670. It was down further yesterday. I'd be up 50% if I just fucking pulled the trigger. I was like, I should buy this thing. And then I was like, ah, fuck it. Didn't. There's so many opportunities right now. And there's really a lot of flipping going on at the moment with a bunch of these tokens. I feel I saw someone, actually, I listened into the Pudgy Inner Circle. Yeah, the Inner Igloo Discord call. I randomly got a push notification. I was like, oh, I'll go listen to that for the first time. And so I was listening to it, and Luca was talking about bull market plans and his thesis that like liquidity would return to NFTs, which is something I actually agree with as well. I mean, it does exist right
crazy.
Now.
It's around. It's just not on the traditional blockchains. You just had a Base NFT go from 0.00007 to 0.3 ETH. Base Fellas, I want to say is what it was, something like that. Some guy I know spent $100 and just made 130,000. He minted 100 of them. And like, there's liquidity. You just saw this free mint from Crypto Valleys, literally free 1500 supply open up at a 1 ETH floor with volume. So it's like, you kind of just have to look for where some of these things are and what ecosystems are thriving. You have Base meme coins running right now, which in turn kind of does lead to some NFTs over there start to trend. Blast Games running, which does lead to the like ecosystem NFTs run. Like Captaining Company is a game on Blast that's doing very good right now. Those NFTs are running because you're getting a higher gold allocation as well in Blast points. It's kind of like these pseudo plays where it's like, if you don't want to play these games or dive into the meme coins, look for the NFTs in those ecosystems because they're thriving right now.
So one of the commenters acting like I was lying about the person coming up to me. I'm getting hit up left and right. You know, people don't understand what fame is like when hot models are running up to you all the time because they saw you on the Twitter timeline. They just don't understand what that's like because they haven't experienced it. But that's what I'm experiencing. And guys who are developing on Blast, or sorry, on Base platform. Hey, you know about Base? That's the type of people running up to me. So if you think that that's surprising, then you're not on crypto Twitter.
So just to put a bow on this, Easy, I do want to talk really quick about Blast. Just to wrap this up, I do feel like I love this idea of what you're saying of like basically putting bets on underlying ecosystems. Like I like for some people that don't have the time to play all these games and to start getting into all this stuff. I do like this idea of trying to put money or ETH into NFTs or meme coins or tokens that could be a bet on the underlying ecosystem. Right. I'm curious, for example, like Blastopians. Is that interesting to you at 0.1 ETH or just trying to find a bet where you're like, hey, if activity goes and ramps up on this chain, which I expect it to, here is something that could go up as a result, whether it's Pac Moon, Blastopians. I'm curious if you have anything, any additional thoughts on that.
I don't know if I'd get into like Blastopians per se. Like their team is really good. They made a lot of the original Blur farming bots. So their team is like really good devs. And it wouldn't shock me if we started to see some ways to farm with that, like Blastopians being the entry key into that. But I'm almost more interested in like new NFTs on these ecosystems. Like we saw the first wave kind of hit Blast Penguins, RIP, lost a bag on those. Blast Runners, RIP, FUDded contract, needed FUBAR to come in and save it. They haven't reminted yet. So another L there. Blastonauts made some money on that one. We'll take it. It was about $37. You know, I chose rich. It was great. But I would be looking for like these next plays. That's where I'm more interested. It's like any cycle. Like as we start to see stuff heat up, what is going to be the more interesting play? Crypto Valleys drops a hero mint. I'm going all in on that because those were the things that cooked for DeFi Kingdoms. And I'm just going to try to replicate that playbook until like that stops being the actual way to navigate it. Base is also really interesting because like you see meme coin profits pivot into NFTs. Or if NFTs give you access to meme coins, you'll see base NFTs run.
Got it. Got it. And I also
Pluto Cats mentioned a lot too. And that thing was like the nouns of base. Like, sure enough. Or nouns of blast, maybe? Nouns of blast? Is that base?
The nouns of blast.
Blast, because they get a gold allocation. That was why. That was why. They went from like a 0.3 mint price to almost a 3 ETH price because it's on a bonding curve. Like, absolutely stupid.
Well, it does feel like these NFT mints on Blast do have more quote unquote utility. And it's all about like, you get this, you can stake it to get allocation of this, or you get allocation of that. And they're just trying a bunch of new stuff. I don't know how it'll play out, but it does feel like that's where the attention is going to go to compared to like an ETH NFT project that's been around for the last 2 years that doesn't really have anything huge coming up. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat. It's basically like, look for the gold, follow gold. Just like, that's my thesis right now is on Blast specifically. Look for who has gold allo, follow it, run after it. Because I saw a thread that was like basically pricing one gold at like $137 right now, something wild. And like, there's opportunities to just make an absolute killing off that.
Yeah, absolutely. Last piece before we wrap up, Frentech. What the hell is going on here? Basically, what it sounds like, we're seeing points trade anywhere between $4 to $5 OTC, which is absurd and in size right now. at Wales Market. I know Nick loves Wales Market. Basically, what it sounds like the thesis is, Easy, is that Frentech is not raising any venture capital, right? So they're saying that basically, if anyone wants to get exposure to SocialFi, to Frentech, from an institutional perspective, they need to buy these points and they need to buy the underlying token. So that's what's causing, that seems to be the narrative. And then they have their V2 launching on 420, which is going to be kind of an upgraded platform. Do you have any take when it comes to Frentech, the rally going on there? Are you going to be participating in any of this, or are you staying in your Blast lane right now?
I'm hanging out on Blast personally. I'm off Frentech. I have some points. So, I mean, like, those selling for $4 to $5 is great. The thing is, it's like, do you sell them now? Because Frentech was like, yeah, we're giving 100% of the allocation to the community, no more to VCs. They changed the tokenomics on it. Speculation that comes out this year, it's a matter of time, I guess, at this point. That's kind of the tough part. But, dude, SocialFi is tough at the moment because you have Farcaster with Degen token. The Arena on AVAX just announced their token, so that's getting farmed pretty heavily by people like CryptoKaleo and some of these others. You have Frentech points now selling for $4 to $5, and that V2 launching the same day as Bitcoin halving. So it does seem like there's somewhat of a resurgence in SocialFi. I've even seen a couple prominent names be like, I'm done sharing trading tips on Twitter. Check me out on Farcaster, or check me out in the Arena. Like, people kind of moving to where they're like token gating their channels a little bit. And it seems like we may get a wave two of SocialFi, at least from the big name players. So, like, if I am looking, it's Farcaster, Frentech, and the Arena on AVAX, just purely because of where volume is and where people are, like, quote, making money. And each of these have an airdrop in some capacity. So it's kind of where you want to allocate time. I'm not going to dive back into these. I would rather stay on Blast and click buttons and be a humble farmer, gambling on seeds and hoping I don't lose all my money. And hopefully whatever Ponzi drops next. There's a new one too that just dropped called Colt. Yeah, it's an ohm fork.
So absurd.
Dude, Colt is back. It's great, dude.
What's going on right now?
So, Clemente, this is 2021 all over again. I've never seen so many 1,000x's every single day as when I first got into this space. Dude, ohm forks being back means we are so back. 888 selling his mutants in the last other sidelands, we're so back. The only thing that I'm waiting on, the cherry on top of we're so back, is Pac dropping a triangle instead of a circle or a square and raising $400 million. When that happens, we are so back. Like, so back is an understatement when that happens. And I'm just telling you, if you've never gotten into an ohm fork, you need to lose all your money at least once, because it's exhilarating. Heart beating out of your chest. You see that number that says 476% yearly APY? And you think you made it, dude. You think you finally made it. And then it all goes to zero and you realize it was all about the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I was in college, a buddy like sent me I think I was Time, if you guys remember that.
Oh yeah, Time. Yeah, Nick got into that and lost it.
That was absurd. I put a good amount of money.
Did I get into that? I got into
one of the Wonderland ecosystems. In 2021, because we were talking about it. I may have been the one that was like, yeah, dude, I'm in deep. I'm making $70,000 a day. And then it all quickly went to zero. But yeah, Time, and that was the OG ohm fork. And then Sin on Solana, where everyone would tweet, are you Sin? And that was another one. I think that one reached a 1.2 trillion percent APY.
I just want to say on a Frentech thing, like, I mean, this is just for me, but when Frentech came out, we were like, you know, it was eggplant season. Nothing was happening. The timeline was all send money to this address and just like horrible sentiments. This was around, I want to say summer, around like June, July. And so when Frentech came out, everyone went into these like private channels. And, you know, depending on the room, some of the rooms were really interesting because whoever you were following was talking about the market and just sort of like keeping the sentiment quite positive, which was completely different to what the timeline was, which was completely negative. So bad that people were going over to Threads and talking about how good Threads was. That's like how low it was. But now we're in peak bear. Well, not even peak bear. So we're in bull, where everyone is actually having a good time. Timeline's really positive. Discords are chat. You go in there overnight and you got 250 messages to catch up on. So like the sentiment is really positive right now. So like farming Frentech is one thing, but I think to like use it in the way it was last year, that doesn't really like, you know, get my socks on, because no one's in there. basically. You go into the chats, everyone's in Discord and the timeline. So I don't know about how you're feeling back from Entain Easy, but I'm not like eager to get back into Frentech just so I can farm points. I think there's far more interesting things to do in this current market.
There's better ways to spend my time.
Yeah, exactly. There's better ways to spend your time, and there's more interesting apps doing Frentech better, as Easy just said. I don't know. Like, there's many things to farm, Frentech being one of them, but the app was a distraction in the bear, and I think with so many cool things happening right now, I think there's better ways to allocate your time.
Yeah, I agree. And it does feel, actually, what's hardest is, like, I think finding one ecosystem and just focusing all your time and energy into like one or two things and just becoming the expert feels like the best thing to do, whether it's ordinals and like runes specifically, or like meme land and just knowing the ins and the outs of everything coming up, how to maximize your gains, etc. That does feel like the best way to get a competitive advantage versus like being the rotator like myself that's just getting into like all these different things and just getting my lunch eaten all the time. But anyways, that's our show, everyone. One more shout out to the partner of today's show, Tensor, which is the Solana, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. The Tensor Foundation just announced the Tensor token, $TNSR, which will be used to govern the Tensor protocols, which have already done over $2 billion of trading on Solana. Their goal, it's to build the most robust NFT ecosystem in crypto. We're going to be super excited to be continue to give you guys more information about that token, about Tensor going forward, and to stay up to date, just follow Tensor Foundation at TensorFDN on X. That's our show. Thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow, same time, 9 a.m. Eastern. Hope you